Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Urban Explorers, what is your creepiest, most horrifying experience? Story 1. Went to an abandoned hospital. There was a large square staircase spiraling up to the roof on the outside of the building with a locked steel door at the bottom. So the only way up was to climb on the outside up to the first landing. My buddy boosted me up. I climbed over, and there was a sleeping bag with a knife next to it on the landing. I called down, we're definitely not alone here, dude. No, but it's cool, said a voice behind me, scaring me and making me jump and whirl around. There was a young, dirty, homeless-looking guy standing there, coming down the stairs from above, hands up, palms out. Didn't mean to scare you. He took a seat on the stairs, so I carefully stepped on the handle of the knife, leaned over the edge, and pulled my friend up. We had planned to sit on the roof and drink beer, so we offered the man a beer, which he gratefully accepted, and we talked on the landing for a while. We were discussing the city, the police, traveling, life in general. He was basically a drifter, in town for a week or so, but a nice guy. Things were going pretty well when he asked, "You guys are human, right?" I hate it when I meet people that end up being something else, and you never know until you peel their skin off. They've been after me a long time, you know. They don't stop. They never stop. Sometimes I think I should just hurt everyone to be safe. He was definitely not joking, and there was an uncomfortable silence as my friend and I realized this guy was unstable. "Yeah, man," I said. "We're human. We just wanted to check out the place and drink some beer. We're going to go ahead and move on now. We definitely don't want any trouble." He just stared in silence. So we left him the last beer, carefully backed up to the railing, jumped down and walked away very quickly, constantly looking back over our shoulders. The entire time he just stood there, still and silent, watching us leave. That place is still abandoned, 5 years later, and we've never been back. I'm not a believer in the supernatural, but people can be deceptive and dangerous in ways you can't see coming. Story 2. A group of my friends and I explored an abandoned asylum a couple of years ago in the Oklahoma City Metro. Very unsafe at night for silly college freshmen like ourselves. The first experience we had was all of us taking our time, enjoying the darkness, and generally messing around. You had to come in through a broken window, and we were all gathered at the window just being dumb when we heard loud, echoing footsteps down the hall running towards us. We all did that. "Who the heck isn't here? Who's messing with us?" Looking turned, and after realizing we were all present and none of us were sprinting down a dark, abandoned hallway, we bolted out of there. The second time, we could hear a group of people messing with us, jumping from around corners and such, but they never got too close. We assumed it was an animal at first, but then realized it was a person. We managed to catch them, and after staring at a group of seemingly drugged-up 20-somethings who begged us for cans of paint and cigarettes, we got really bad vibes and tried to leave. The leader of the group asked if we had jewelry, which we denied. He then said the creepiest thing I've ever heard in my life. "I like jewelry. I take it off the girls here when they sleep." We bolted. Story 3. We were kids exploring an underground flood channel. There were spots we could climb up and dangle our arms out of the storm drains on the street, but that required crawling up weird diagonal tunnels. There were four of us, maybe 12 years old, one flashlight. The walls were all covered in graffiti with a lot of gang stuff, and even warnings to turn back. We just assumed it was from other kids who were bored. We got to the spot where the ceiling angled down quite low, to the point the opening was so small we had to crawl to continue. Challenge accepted, it looked like it opened up again shortly. So we crawled through 5 to 6 feet of the low area, and when it opened back up, it looked like we were in a large round concrete pipe before it had been square or rectangular. Still lots of graffiti. We started yelling and playing with the echoes. Then we thought we heard something, so we got quiet. Then a real loud, "You are going to die," came echoing from the darkness. The kid with the flashlight ran so fast and the rest of us were left in absolute darkness. Anyway, this was the first time we went past the low spot, but the last time we went down there. None of us died that day. The rest of us ended up quietly and slowly walking out in the darkness. Story 4. I had one creepy experience I already told. But my friends who always go exploring told me about this time they were just following a trail that went into the hills. And after almost reaching the freeway, they ended up near an old closed-up train tunnel. They were able to squeeze through some loose fencing, and after wandering through with nothing of interest, they eventually came to a bunch of shipping containers. They told me that when they glanced inside, they saw a ton of weapons and ammo in one, and just a large number of heavy boxes in the rest. After a few minutes of checking it out, they heard voices from further down the tunnel coming closer, so they got out of there. They also said it almost smelled like the ocean towards the end, so the tunnel might have led out near the beach. Edit. Some added clarification for those who asked. The place they hiked to was somewhere between Santa Barbara and Oxnard in California. As they stopped on the 101 going southbound and started their hike, and ended up returning to the car and going to Oxnard at the end of the day. They made a report to the police, but I haven't heard of anything coming of that on the news or otherwise. Also, some people said it might be smugglers, but given that the crates were unlocked, the tunnel was unguarded, and it was accessible to anyone who wandered out there, I doubt that's the case. If it was, they were either just about to take off or they were really careless. Story 5. Last winter, I went into this abandoned parking lot under a closed shopping mall. It had two levels. The upper level had a bit of sunlight going in through the windows, but the lower level was pitch black. I made my way down this wide ramp that the cars would use and decided to have a look at the bottom level. After turning my flashlight on, I noticed that the space was huge, much bigger than the upper level. I remember how the light danced through the many supporting pillars and cast vivid shadows. I said hello and I'm just taking a look around, just to make my intentions clear, but was met with no response. So I decided to walk around for a bit, but couldn't see anything of interest. Just a lot of junk, some empty old bottles, but nothing that might indicate someone living or hanging around there. The place seemed completely abandoned. However, this uneasy feeling that someone might be hiding in the pitch black shadow of one of those pillars got to me, and I climbed back up the ramp. I left taking a different route and passed under an overhead clearing where snow had fallen through. Just as I was about to hop the fence and leave, I noticed that the patch of snow that had formed had footprints in it. I know this doesn't really sound horrifying when you read it, as the logical explanation was that some poor person had probably taken shelter from the cold inside the lot. But still, being there creeped me out. Story 6. My friends and I used to explore this old factory or processing plant. No idea what it was originally. Anyway, it had lots of underground sections, which were pitch black, even a couple of meters from the entrance, but which also required going down a flight of stairs. One time we found a burned-out car 2 or 3 levels down. No idea how it got in there, but that was pretty creepy. Another time we found a hole. We didn't bring flashlights with us because we were careless, but we had lighters and were trying to figure out what the hole was or if it could lead anywhere. We put a stick in there, and it ended up being at least 6 feet deep. But we also learned that it was full of some liquid, and if we had fallen in, we could have easily drowned in the dark. Another time we went a couple of levels down, and one of us at the bottom started screaming shrieks of absolute terror, and the rest of us thought something terrible was happening. We all started running. Everyone was screaming at this point. There was this sludgy stuff on the ground, and some of us slipped and fell just like in a horror movie. slipping and sliding, our limbs out of control. Again, there were six or more people screaming in absolute fear, and we all thought something awful was going to happen. Turned out a bird had made a nest down there. My sister got spooked, and my friends screamed louder than anyone else. Story 7. There was an abandoned hotel I was checking out, and I gained access through a broken window near the indoor pool. It smelled terrible inside, and I discovered a couple of dead deer in the slime collected towards the deep end of the pool. That should have been my sign to go. I made my way into the lobby and banquet areas, came across a couple of raccoons and squirrels who scurried away swiftly. Everything was destroyed. Even the reception desk had been ripped in half. Nothing interesting to photograph, just neat little piles of trash. After a bit of searching, I found the stairwell. There was an odd noise coming from above that I brushed off as rain. I decided to skip a couple of floors because they were probably in the same condition as the lobby, and a lot of the exterior windows had been blown out. I got to the fourth floor and opened the door, not worried about noise as I was confident I was the only person inside. As I pulled the door open, the rain noise suddenly ceased completely. I pointed my flashlight down the hallway and saw hundreds of geese poke their heads out of the guest rooms. I remember the moment where nothing moved and we just stared at each other as lasting several minutes, though I'm sure it was about 10 seconds. There I was in the middle of the hall, the geese of abandoned luxury staring me down.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax tip and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Once the initial shock of the sight wore off, I remembered I was only looking at half of the floor. Behind me, the geese weren't frozen. They were coming towards me. Time to go. I closed the stairwell door behind me, only muffling the cacophony that erupted once I moved. As I hustled down the stairs, I realized the signs were there all along. Goose droppings everywhere. I hit the lobby and turned toward the pool, where a group of geese had gathered as if they were trying to trap me. Luckily, they were just birds. I got out to find the exterior of the hotel swarming with them. There was one lone sentinel standing on the roof, honking out a shrill command that the perimeter had been breached. I should have stayed to get more pictures, but I was done, covered in filth from a slip down the stairs, and didn't feel like dealing with dive bombers circling overhead. I did get this, though. Story 8. When I was in college, a few friends and I went to this local abandoned hotel. It had been a swanky place back in the 50s, but had just been sitting around abandoned and fenced off ever since. We walked by and saw an open window on a second-story ledge, and ended up finding an old wooden ladder nearby on the property. We went in and hung around and saw a bit of great graffiti. The whole place was trashed with actual garbage, as well as parts of the building that were falling apart. We made it up the staircase to the third floor, looking in each of the rooms. The area we were in used to be the housing for the staff of the hotel. The third floor was covered in garbage from throughout the years. We got to the last room on the third floor and looked in to find a lit candle with no one else around. Realizing we were not alone, we ran out of there, and once we were outside, looked up to see someone watching us from one of the windows. We went to college in a city with a significant homeless problem and assumed we had just stumbled onto someone's home, but it still freaked us out. They cemented up the place after another explorer fell down an open elevator shaft and broke his legs, and it has recently been renovated, and they are turning it into an apartment building. Not the creepiest find, but definitely unsettling in the moment. Story 9. This happened 8 years ago when I was a sophomore in high school. My urbex friends and I were on a bike ride looking for cool places to explore in a relatively dilapidated area when we discovered a really creepy cave, an old abandoned cement mine, we later learned. We did some mild exploring that first day, but quickly realized it would require more gear to thoroughly explore. Flashlights, respirators, etc. About a week later, five of us came back with the proper gear and a camera to see what we could find in the mine. We discovered there was basically one main shaft that sloped downward and deeper into the earth, so we followed that main route. It was wide enough for a car to drive down and was pretty well graded, so the walking was easy. There were many rooms, old machinery, and rusting equipment off this main shaft, but we mostly avoided them in the beginning. We were trying not to get lost or confused. Along the way, the walls were littered with the classic abandoned graffiti. X was here, initials and dates, random symbols and crude drawings. As we got deeper and deeper, though, the graffiti really thinned out. At this point, the light from the entrance was long gone, and we were relying solely on flashlights. The air was so stagnant and hazy with particles that the light from our flimsy flashlights would only go 20 feet or so before getting totally obscured by dust. Thank goodness for the respirators. The glow sticks we had brought to mark our way to prevent getting lost were also basically useless because they would disappear in the haze only a few steps after dropping them, and we had only brought 10 or so. At this point, we started arguing among ourselves. Several of the crew were nervous about going any deeper with the air quality being so terrible and without a good way to prevent us from getting lost. We were probably a quarter mile into the earth now. The rest of us managed to override that fear by assuring them that the path was easy and straightforward, so we'd have to try very hard to get lost. We were going to rely on our sense of direction and flashlight battery life to get out. Despite the agreement to push on, it was becoming very unsettling for everyone. We walked for a while in silence, hearing nothing but our own movements and the steady drip of water coming from somewhere deep in the cave. I think we were all pretty scared at this point, but no longer willing to admit it to each other. Then we stumbled across something that made us all stop cold. Dug into the side of the deep stone shaft we were slowly descending was a tunnel, an offshoot. It was narrow, you'd have to crouch to go through it, and it was also a good few feet off the ground, so it required a scramble to reach it. But that wasn't what made us stop. It was the graffiti. We hadn't seen any for 10 minutes or so, and had assumed the artists never came this deep. But someone else clearly had, and the message they left was ominous. The tunnel was lined with words written in white, all of them somehow relating to death and destruction. Scrawled throughout the tunnel were words like suffering, pain, plague, disease, and hell. It was unnerving. Who else would come this far just to write such a disturbing message in a mysterious tunnel that broke from the main path? But there was no turning back now. We had to see where the tunnel led. Despite our fear, we were overpowered by intense curiosity. So one by one, we crawled through the tunnel to the other side. What we found was a strange flooded chamber. Around the pool of water were many large stones, each covered with dozens of burned-out tea candles. There must have been hundreds of used candles in the place. The walls had a few crude monster faces painted on them. And the tunnel entrance back to the main shaft was ringed with a spray-painted blood-stained mouth design. What was this place? Some weird ritual site for local groups? An elaborate hoax set up by kids? We couldn't find much evidence to figure it all out, and we were running out of energy to keep exploring. We all crawled out of that strange place and back into the main shaft, where we promptly headed toward the exit. When we finally saw that pinprick of natural light coming from the world outside, we were flooded with relief. We never did figure out what that mysterious cavern was for, and I think I'm content to leave it a mystery. No, we didn't hear any monsters in the depths of the tunnel or find anyone inside. But just finding that room, buried deep in an old forgotten mine, was enough to unsettle all of us for a long time. Here's some photo evidence of the adventure. The entrance to the mine, it was pretty grown over and eerie looking on its own. Some old defunct equipment early on in the mine. No idea what this machine would be used for, but we liked the look and the ominous graffiti. There were a lot of big cinder block structures like this one built into the cave itself. Many of them were filled with mildewy papers, old office equipment, and phones, or even beds. Can't imagine living in a place like this, even when it had electricity. We found one of the mysterious dripping sources, a large underwater lake, presumably intentionally put there when they flooded the place after it closed, to prevent people like us from exploring. Break out the scuba gear. The entrance to the mysterious lair, a tunnel filled with ominous messages of death and disease. This is the flooded cavern that the tunnel leads to. You can see the tunnel itself in the back ringed by a graffiti mouth stained with blood. The shiny specks in the photo are the metal tea candle holders. The exit at last. We didn't die. Storgatan. I used to be really big into urban exploration when I was younger. After I got older, I hitchhiked across the USA multiple times and stayed on the road for a little over 3 years. One of the most memorable experiences happened south of Omaha. Me and four other travelers made camp at night in a field of weeds next to a railroad track. We woke up in the morning around 6 a.m., and one of the guys said, "Do you smell that?" "Smells like something strong." We all were like, "Sure, sure, go back to sleep." But then another guy said, "Wait, it really does smell like that." Annoyed, I got out of bed, grabbed my flashlight, and shined it around. I noticed all the plants around us looked sticky. Intrigued, I got closer and realized we had camped in the middle of someone's hidden crop. Sure enough, we all got up and started looking around and even found very well hidden water lines, barbed wire, and other signs. We started to think about grabbing some of it and taking it with us, but then we heard a gunshot far off and we all froze. Immediately after, we heard dogs barking and the sound of someone moving through the field. We tried to rationalize that it was just someone hunting, but then there was another gunshot, much closer than the first. Suffice it to say, we grabbed our stuff and ran down the tracks, half of us barely clothed. Story 11. My wife and I and a friend of ours were exploring an abandoned state-run school for troubled youth with a very dark history that included abuse and even the death of some of the students. Behind the campus, through some woods, was a grave site with a couple dozen simple crosses to mark the graves. My wife and I were photographing the crosses while our friend was wandering around the gravesite, probably 50 feet away from us. He hurried over with eyes wide and told us he saw someone in the woods watching us. Considering how we were not in our hometown, trespassing, and near a county jail, we packed our gear up quickly and started heading back the way we came. We would stop every so often in the woods between the gravesite and the school to watch and listen. I never saw the person that was supposedly watching us, but I did hear someone else walking through the woods after us. Edit. Remembered another one. Another time we were exploring an abandoned warehouse. We had just gotten in and were walking around the large storage facility in the back when we heard what sounded like a can getting knocked over, coming from the offices in the front of the building. We decided to check out the noise before we got too deep into exploring and photographing the place. All three of us snuck up to the front of the building. I took the lead and started navigating the hallways as quietly as possible, looking for the source of the noise. I looked into one of the offices expecting to find a cat or some other stray animal, only to find a person kneeling in the corner of the room, facing the wall, rocking forwards and backwards. I turned back to the group, gave the signal to get out quickly, and we ran for it. Story 12. Me and two of my friends were checking out an old fort on the coast. Rumors of it being haunted and the fact that people who went there often returned injured drew us to the place. It was the middle of the day when we managed to climb in, but it was still eerily still and creepy. We split up, obviously not learning from horror movies, and started looking around the courtyard and the battlements. I found the remnants of a fire and noticed what looked like letters that had been burned. I picked some up and pieced them together, and they revealed that the recipient had been released from prison for good behavior, but wasn't allowed to see his kids. Then there were increasingly urgent requests for this man to check in with the authorities. Lastly, separate from the fire, I found a handwritten letter with a rock on top of it to prevent it from blowing away. This one seemed to be from his ex, refusing to let him near his kids because what he had done was unforgivable. At this point, I became increasingly aware that I was alone and that my friends had ventured into the tunnels hollowed out of the cliff. So I went in the pitch black, not knowing whether I would bump into my friend or someone else entirely. Eventually, I found one of them and explained what I had found. We started jumping at every noise before we finally found my other friend and ran out of the place. One friend broke two toes, another dislocated his shoulder climbing out, and I ended up with an enormous scar from where my hip was cut open. Very creepy place. Story 13. Me and a few friends decided to explore this abandoned children's hospital we had heard about, which was in a small village about an hour from us. We got there, and it was this huge plot of land, trees surrounding the whole place, and the building in the center. Really creepy looking. We had to climb up a wall to get inside, as we couldn't get in on the ground floor and had to go through a window that was ajar. After climbing through, the place was a mess, rubble everywhere, but it looked completely desolate, as if no one else had been inside for years. Anyway, we basically went straight up to the roof, sat, had a few beers, and then went home. I decided to go back a few days later with my girlfriend to have a proper look around because I wanted to explore it. We went in the building, and immediately there was a different vibe, unlike the other night. We jumped over the broken staircase to get to the ground floor. This was next to a large, heavy-duty wooden door with multiple bolts and chains over it, and found a trap door with a ladder underneath, which led to the basement. I convinced my girlfriend to come with me, but she wouldn't explore the basement. She stayed at the bottom of the ladder with her torch while I had a quick look around. That's when it got really scary. I walked past some machines into a small room, which was completely empty, with the exception of a kicked-over chair and a noose hanging from a pipe directly above it. I froze and turned around to leave. On the wall, there was red graffiti, not prepared to believe it was blood because there was a lot, saying, "Don't come back." Needless to say, I haven't been back. My girlfriend told me afterward that it felt like I was gone for about an hour, even though I had only been away for 5 or 10 minutes. She kept hearing whispers from the dark corridors, and at one point, the trap door fell shut above her for no apparent reason. Very scary place. I would love to go back with more people, but that really shook me up. Story 14. Back in the day, my friends and I would always go to this boarded-up hospital and play in it. The only problem was all the doors were locked and all the windows were boarded. However, there was this shed that you could climb up and jump onto a car cover, and there was a broken window where you could get in. We had been in this hospital so many times it wasn't creepy at all anymore. Well, one day we decided we would go explore the basement that was always flooded, and we would actually try to walk down the super dark hallway that was there. The water was probably 4 feet deep and murky, so you couldn't see the bottom. My friends and I started walking down the stairs into the basement and were shining our flashlights into the hallway, trying to see anything. All we could see was something that looked like a generator and some shelves, but we couldn't see too far down. We finally mustered up the courage to begin our descent into the water, but something didn't feel right. The water was completely motionless and it got incredibly quiet. So quiet, I swear I could hear my friend's heartbeats. My friend put one foot on a submerged stair and then another. The water rippled as he continued to descend. Then, out of nowhere, we heard a huge splash into the water somewhere very nearby. The kind of splash you would hear if someone cannonballed into it. We immediately bolted back up the stairs. I peeked down into the darkness and saw nothing, but I could definitely hear something moving in the hallway toward us. We ran all the way to the second floor and jumped off the car cover so fast. We waited outside for a couple of hours and heard nothing and saw no one. We ended up going back inside and sitting at the top of the stairs listening for anything or anyone, but heard nothing. The stairs were pretty dry by this point. One of my friends got a bright idea and threw the flashlight down the stairs into the water to try and scare whatever might be down there. After the flashlight made a splash from the impact, we heard nothing, and the light disappeared into the darkness of the water. After waiting for what felt like an eternity, we again found the courage to charge down the stairs, screaming and hollering. We got to the base of the water and jumped in, shining our flashlights down the hall and making a ton of noise. Behind the generator was another hallway that was absolutely pitch black. We were standing in the water at this intersection when all of a sudden we saw a large silhouette slowly moving toward us. It looked like two barrels standing next to each other on top of the water. Then there was another huge splash behind them. They split apart and started moving toward us super quickly. We ran and never returned to that place again. Story 15. Me, my best friend, and my cousin liked to explore abandoned buildings and structures. At the time, we needed an abandoned location for a web series we were doing. We walked across a large barren field to get to an old worn-down house. There was even a small barn right next to it. It seemed like the perfect location. We walked around the barn and I was filming because I wanted to review the footage later to show the other people involved in the series who couldn't make it. After we looked through a large portion of the barn, I stopped recording and we headed out. The next thing to explore was the house. However, there was something off about it. It certainly looked abandoned, but it didn't feel like it was abandoned. I noticed an orange extension cord leading to a small window near the ground. I could tell it was the basement and the light was on. I looked over at my friend and cousin and told them that I was pretty sure someone lived here. There was no garage and no car, but the light in the basement immediately told me someone lived there. My cousin, for some reason, thought nothing of it and was going to try the door when, sure enough, a truck started coming down the driveway. So here we were, three teenagers standing right next to someone's house during the late afternoon with a vehicle driving toward us. My cousin and I immediately started to speed walk away from the house and toward the barren field. The truck pulled up near us and a middle-aged man got out. He asked us what we were doing, and I said that we were walking through the field to get to a nearby neighborhood. He looked at us for a bit, and we started to back up as he went inside. That immediately put an end to our exploration that day. The thing that makes this story one of the biggest dodge bullets is, what if my cousin had broken into the house? What if I hadn't noticed the extension cable? Imagine all three of us inside when the owner came home. Story 16. Not sure if this counts because I had to do it for work. I'm a water guy. I read meters and maintain infrastructure like water lines and such. Most cities and towns show a water loss from month to month. We know how much water left the water plant, and we know how much got sold through meters and flushed from hydrants. Whatever doesn't get counted is the water loss. My town's water loss nearly doubled 1 month to 12% loss. Something was up. There was a leak going somewhere, and we had to find it quickly. Water costs money, and the higher the loss, the more tax dollars get spent paying for it. We divided the town into sections. About 40 of us split into teams of two men and searched each section all day. My section included an abandoned water plant. If you've never seen a water plant, it's like a large factory full of deep pools and huge pipes. The plant hadn't been operational for about 15 years. There was no electricity, and the only lighting came through a few small dirty windows. It looked just like a scene from a movie. I went in through the back door. It had rotted and fallen off the hinges, so we just walked right in. The ground floor was just concrete walkways that passed over the huge pools of water. They had rusty railings with life preservers hanging on them. It was eerily quiet except for our footsteps. The water was black and stagnant. The whole place smelled like an old musty basement. At the end of the walkway, there was a metal staircase that went down into a dry pit that had some pumps and pipes. That's where the valves were located that isolated the plant from the rest of the system. We shined our lights down into the pit and saw that nothing looked out of place or leaking, so we turned around to head back out. My coworker had been there before years ago and was talking about how the plant operated. He said there was a laboratory upstairs, so we decided to check it out while we were there. We went up the metal staircase to the second floor and entered the lab. It was fascinating. They had all kinds of glassware still set up from the day they shut down. It was all covered in dust and bird droppings. The floor was scattered with old papers and more bird mess. I was nosy, so I opened file cabinets and desk drawers, looking at what they had left behind. The whole place was like a time capsule. There was a wall of lockers where employees used to keep their stuff. I opened each one, but they were all empty. Along another wall were the bathrooms. The plant was built in the 1920s and still had the original sinks and old-timey toilets. As a former plumber, I found that interesting. Beside the bathrooms was another door. I assumed it must be a closet. The door was already open a few inches, so I flung it open to see what was in there. As soon as I did, a cat jumped out and made the loudest, angriest scream I've ever heard from a cat. The floors were concrete, so the cat was trying its best to run away, but wasn't getting much traction. The cat screamed. I screamed. My coworker screamed. We all jumped. Glass was breaking from things we knocked over, and it echoed through the huge, empty building. After we realized it was just a cat, we laughed all the way back outside to our truck. It was probably the most scared I've ever been in my life. I was already creeped out by the stagnant pools of black water inside a pitch-black building. It felt exactly like the moment in a scary movie when you know something is about to happen. Story 17. A lone abandoned farmhouse in northeast Iceland. Langeness. This was true edge-of-the-earth stuff, a few hundred meters from the Arctic Ocean, about 10 kilometers from the nearest sealed road, and not a single soul for miles. I was on my own and just headed up to it for a quick explore. I was on field work up there for other reasons, and went inside. It wasn't too messed up inside, not much furniture. Some things left in the kitchen with a homemade poster saying, Atarmuti 1982, a festival that celebrates bringing in sheep before the winter, so it was abandoned at some point after then. I was about to go to the top floor when I heard a creak. I stopped and listened for a few seconds. Nothing else. Fine. Went up two more steps, heard the creak again, and genuinely 2 or 3 footsteps, or at least the sound of it. This really made the hairs on my neck stand up. Logically, I knew there was essentially zero chance of anyone else being there, and I like to think of myself as a reasonable, not easily spooked man. I went up one more step, then heard 2 more footsteps and something slam onto the floor above. I bolted, ran back down the stairs out of the farmhouse into my Land Rover, and headed off down the track. Never did find out what it was. I felt a bit foolish, but my love of horror movies took control of my brain and told me to run from footsteps in the attic of an abandoned farmhouse. At least I got a few good photos. Story 18. I was working as a motorcycle messenger in L.A. I had a delivery to an address in the Bird Streets behind the Chateau Marmont on Sunset. This is a ritzy neighborhood full of 80-year-old mansions behind walls and gates. The address wasn't too far up the hill, maybe Oriel Street. I found the address. The gate was hanging open. I drove in. There was an old Jaguar with 4 flat tires sitting in the circular driveway. The Jag obviously hadn't moved in years. The grounds, however, were not overgrown. Most of the windows on the mansion were broken. The front door was hanging open. I banged on the door and yelled, "No response." I walked in. The place was a ruin. It was winter time. It was dusk. There was a drizzle. I walked through the mansion. The fancy parquet floors were warped and rotting. The walls were peeling. A chandelier had fallen from the ceiling. I walked up a once grand staircase. The banister had collapsed. Several risers were missing. Upstairs, there were at least a dozen bedrooms. Funny thing is, there were no vines, no signs of rodents, no bird nest. All the bedrooms were empty except one. That one had a super jumbo king-size box spring and mattress sitting on the floor. The bed was neatly made with cheap sheets and blankets. There was a milk crate nightstand and a clip-on light. No ashtrays, no bottles, no discarded paraphernalia. Just a Gideon Bible on the nightstand. I called in, "You sure this is the right address?" The dispatcher read back the address. I checked the package. No name on it, which I hadn't noticed before. I walked back out and checked the curb for the painted number. I was at the right place. I called in, described the setting. "I'm not going to be able to get a signature." The dispatcher called the customer. I stood by for a few minutes. "Leave the package on the bed," said the dispatcher. So I did. To this day, I've never been able to track down who it was that was living so eccentrically at that address, or what on earth I was delivering. The package was a manila bubble wrap with a bulge in it, and about the size of a pill vial, but heavier, like a gemstone. Story 19. I went to Bachelor's Grove Cemetery in Illinois with some friends during the day, and if it's still open, you should go. We didn't know the stories, but a few ghost hunters had their gear and told us different versions of the same tales, how the nearby pond was supposedly used for dumping bodies and things like that. Classic graveyard talk. A photographer gave us the closest thing to the real story. He said he came there a lot for gothic-themed photo shoots and to get stock spooky photos. He never saw anything scary, but at night high school kids would come and party. Sometimes people would show up and hurt animals, but that hadn't happened in years. We came back at night and saw some older kids sneaking in with coolers and backpacks, so we started chatting with them. We got the cold shoulder, but we were theater kids and just bounced from group to group, trying to break the ice, until one of the ringleader types unzipped his bag and showed us what looked like a robe. He said, "You need to leave." No idea if it was something cult-related or just a picnic blanket he didn't want to share, but it worked. We got out of there fast. Story 20. I guess no one has any reason to believe me, but a few years back, a friend and I were snooping around some allotments on the outskirts of our village in the UK. It was about 11 p.m., so it was pretty dark. Not completely pitch black, but dark to the point where, if you looked at a tree around 30 meters away, all you'd see was its silhouette. Up close, though, you could see enough to navigate. The allotment was surrounded on three sides by deep hedgerows, with trees and fields beyond. I'm always super vigilant in these sorts of situations, so I would stop regularly and just listen, stand as still as possible, and strain my ears for people approaching. My friend had crouched down, about 3 meters from me, to see what sort of plants were growing, and was pulling at a vegetable. While I was listening, I began to hear a noise coming from the back corner of the allotments, maybe 20 to 30 meters away. The noise is really hard to describe. It was like a low-pitched sound, vividly like someone speaking in tongues, but odd. It seemed smaller than a human voice, but deeper, like an animal, but with rolling vowel and consonant sounds, all different tones layered together. I can still hear it vividly when I think about it. My friend and I had a system of hand signals, but of course he was focused on the plant. I was utterly convinced this was going to be one of those things you hear, but by the time you get someone's attention, it stops, and no one believes you. I didn't want to move, risking drawing attention to myself, so I just stood still and made a sharp hiss with my tongue. My friend looked up, and I signaled in the direction of the noise. It carried on. We just stood and listened in silence for about a minute before it started to increase in volume. That was the point we decided we had done enough investigating. It carried on as we left. Now, years later, my rational side says it was some kind of animal, maybe a fox. But I spend a lot of time outdoors at night, away from built-up areas, and I've never heard a noise like that before or since. At the time, we had all sorts of theories. We knew it could have just been an animal. But there are also a lot of government installations in the area. People talk about hidden tunnel networks, and if you're out at night, you'll often see strange lights over the hills in the distance. Story 21. I'm not really an urban explorer, but I did some urbex with experienced friends. Since I live in Paris, we decided to go to the Paris catacombs. Not really the best place to start as a newbie. So we had to crawl through tight spaces, walk in water-filled hallways and all that stuff. But honestly, it wasn't bad. We met some other nice people, had lunch, and it was a pretty interesting experience since this is such a beautiful and strange place to be. The horrifying part came a few days after the exploration. While talking to a friend about what we did, I realized how dangerous and terrifying it really was. I mean, we were who knows how deep underground with no way to contact emergency services if we got injured or lost. Plus, we had to crawl in spaces that could have been blocked when we tried to exit the catacombs. We were alone in the dark in a place that isn't supposed to be open to the public, and we were totally responsible for what could have happened to us. Just imagine being trapped there, a dark maze with no way to contact anyone outside, forced to wander around until you collapse. No one could hear you from above, and it's so easy to get lost with all the corridors twisting in every direction. You also never know who else you could meet in those places. I know it's a different kind of horrifying, and you might call me a coward, but honestly, I could have died down there. Story 22. Fasten your bootstraps for this one. A good friend of mine was out on a bike ride with two other guys along a creek that runs through our city. As it gets up into the hills, the slopes on the sides get steeper as it turns into a canyon, forcing the path up some nasty switchbacks away from the river. They decided the switchbacks weren't worth it, and the river was shallow enough to walk further and explore. They walked up for a while, with the canyon walls getting higher and steeper, isolating them from any easy way in or out. As they turned a bend in the river, they saw a beach to the side, formed in a little forested area at the base of the walls. They figured they'd found an awesome hidden spot where nobody would ever come. The first of them went up the sandy beach, then said, guys, you're going to want to see this. At first there were jokes, but when they came up, the first thing they saw was a ball gag, followed by a mask and some bottles. Then there was a strap-on, a whip, and other gear. Being the mature 20-year-olds they were, they started flicking it at each other, and one of them put the mask on and chased the others around. Then they noticed a path leading into the small forest and figured maybe it led back to the main pathway, and the stuff they found was just a prank. But halfway down the path, it became clear that wasn't the case. They came out to a 100-square-foot sandy area that had been totally cleared of rocks. In the middle of this, about a human wingspan apart, were two upright poles stuck in the ground with screws at the top. All the rocks in the area had been carefully placed in a spiral, each with a smaller rock balanced on top in the exact center. They looked around, found nothing else, but were seriously unsettled and made a vow to come back another day. Let's just say, this place wasn't abandoned. Story 23. Me and a few friends went out almost every night during the summer holidays looking for abandoned places. One night we found an old morgue next to a hospital, another time an old warehouse, and the last was what I can only describe as a village hall. The morgue was actually the least scary because there were crude drawings and silly comments all over the walls, but it was still interesting. The warehouse was massive. We still go back sometimes to try to reach the top, but as it's completely rusted and falling apart, we always back out. The last one, just 5 minutes from my house, was the creepiest. I've never been so shocked in my life. We heard about it from my partner's younger brother, 11, who insisted there was an abandoned house down the road. At first, we didn't believe him. He called any house with a broken window abandoned, but he wouldn't stop going on about it, so eventually we checked it out. From the outside, it was overgrown and dark. The door to the side alleyway was open, so we crept down there to an unlocked back door. Inside was a tiny opening with two more doors. I was in the lead, so I went to the closest one. The door was partly open, but not enough to see inside. I leaned in to peek through the gap, keeping in mind it was pitch black. Just as my head was next to the crack, the door opened the smallest bit, and I could see inside. The light was on. I panicked and told everyone to run. All I could imagine was someone on the other side of that door doing the exact same thing I was, trying to peek out at me. It was probably the wind, but the thought terrified me. We went back a week later to explore more and found strange clown paintings scattered across the floor. No one was inside. The place was dead, but the electricity was still running. That's a story for another time. Story 24. When we were about 15 or 16, we wanted to go to this abandoned industrial mill at the edge of a forest. There were about five of us. To get to the mill, you had to cross a running stream, but you could hop across on rocks if you were agile enough. We got to the mill and couldn't find an open door, but we had a look around outside. We saw some giant metal machines and rooms full of exposed wires, as well as views into the inner parts of the building. Lots of chunks of metal, chairs and debris, but it hadn't really been ransacked and there was no graffiti. We were pretty psyched, feeling like we were the first ones there. We came to a boarded up window and kicked it a few times. It was nailed on pretty tight, but eventually it fell in. It dropped for a second or two and hit the ground with a loud smash. When we looked in, we couldn't see the bottom. I volunteered to go first. I sat on the edge and eased myself down, but my feet still didn't touch the ground, so I just jumped. I landed on top of the board and it made a loud crash. My mates all asked if I was okay. They thought I had hurt myself. Turned out we had kicked in the original window behind the board, and when I jumped down, the sound was really loud. I turned on my headlamp and helped the rest of them down. We were in the basement. There was an old lift in the middle, a proper old-school Bioshock type thing, and we pulled the trellis aside to go inside it and look. At the back was the panel, and when I shone my lamp on it, there was some proverb about owing our lives to God or something like that. Weird. While I was looking at it, the room suddenly lit up. I was dazzled for a moment. Turns out my friend flicked a switch outside, and the lights still worked. We went nuts, super excited. Then we heard a shuffling sound from upstairs. Since we were in the basement, we had to go up to get out. We were terrified. At the end of the day, we were just kids. Preparing ourselves for an encounter, I picked up a nearby spade, and we started creeping up the stairs. We heard the sound coming from behind a door. We pushed it open, and inside were about 10 builders. They looked straight at us, me standing there holding a shovel. We instantly ran, bolting through the building until we found an emergency door that opened from the inside. We sprinted out into the woods. Police cars passed us going the other way. I tripped over my shoelace when I saw them, and now I have a neat scar on my elbow from the fall. Story 25. One day, my girlfriend and I were casually eating frozen yogurt in a parking lot. We were enjoying a Sunday evening with lighthearted conversation when a strange car pulled in and the driver rolled down his window. I thought, oh, maybe it's park security. Well, I was wrong. I opened my window and this guy looked me dead in the eyes and smiled. It was such a creepy smile that I still can't get it out of my head. He then proceeded to light a cherry bomb or something similar and tried to throw it into my car. Luckily, he missed and it landed on my windshield, causing it to shatter. My girlfriend and I were in complete shock, just frozen for a moment. Then I noticed the guy was reversing to the end of the parking lot and revving his engine. I realized quickly he was about to slam into me. I drove out of the parking lot as fast as I could, and he proceeded to chase me for about a mile. Eventually, I lost him. That's a day I will never forget. Story 26. A few years ago, I got a text from a friend while I was at work saying he found an abandoned house deep in the woods off a trail. He said he had tried approaching the house, but some old lady came up to him and told him not to go in. This was on a Tuesday, and I told him I was at work, so we'd have to go that night. When night came, I made my way over to his place a couple of cities over, and we headed down the trail to find the house. The place looked as if it had been abandoned for years. It was in the middle of the woods at the end of a long driveway, surrounded by trees and darkness. You couldn't hear a sound or see a single light. We walked around the house to try and find an entry point, but all the windows had been smashed in and replaced by boards, nails, and 2x4s. Our only option was the front door, which was also boarded up and locked with a padlock. My buddy decided we should try to break in, seeing as no one probably lived there and no one would be around to see us or care. So we hiked back down the trail to find something to use. We came across a park where the city had planted trees and took the big steel rods planted around the saplings, then headed back to the house. We got there and started trying to break down the front door. We were kicking and prying at the padlock with the steel rods. It was close to 3 a.m., in the middle of nowhere, deep in the woods. With every kick, the door gave more and more, 2 feet of movement each time, the wood cracking. We were almost in. Suddenly, it started getting bright, too bright to be the sun. I turned around and saw 6 trucks speeding down the driveway toward us. I yelled at my buddy and told him we had to get out of there. As the trucks pulled up, we bolted into the trees. The house happened to be at the top of a very steep hill. We were running down it, tripping every other step because it was pitch dark and we couldn't see a foot ahead. I looked back and saw a bunch of men with flashlights following us, so I ran faster. Suddenly, I dropped. A sharp pain shot through my left thigh and I couldn't move. I had landed on a fallen tree and cut my leg badly, but the men were still coming, so I forced myself up and kept running. At the bottom of the hill, our feet sank into a stream or small river. It was knee-deep, so we waded through. On the other side was another hill. We climbed, and after what felt like forever, we saw light piercing through the trees ahead. It was morning. We reached the edge of the forest and found a cul-de-sac. Just then, a car sped toward us, so we hid in a bush. It wasn't the men. It was a police car, flying down the street at high speed with no sirens or lights. We waited until it passed, then made our way toward civilization. Over the next hour, as we walked back, we saw at least 10 more cop cars driving around the neighborhood. Every time we heard one, we dove into a bush and waited. We finally made it back to my buddy's place by 5:30 a.m. He was disappointed we never got inside, but I was relieved. Had we been in the house, we wouldn't have seen the trucks coming, and who knows what kind of trouble we could have gotten into. Story 27. Under a church in my local town, there's a green wooden covering meant to look like a fake door. It has no handle, no hinges. It's just there to block off access. It's on the backside of the church, outside the grounds with no road nearby. One day, me and my mates saw someone had smashed the wooden cover to pieces. Typical teens, we wanted to explore, but I suggested we research first. Our town has a lot of tunnels linking houses and shops. Most chained off, but some still open. This was the first one we could access without asking a shop owner. I found stories about ghosts tied to the tunnels, including the Blue Drum Boy, who was said to have died during a war in the early 11th century. One of my friends, a believer in the paranormal, came prepared with a cross and some gear. I brought a 500-lumen torch, a backpack of batteries, and walkie-talkies. Early morning, in pitch black, we went in. Everyone was silent as we crept down the stairs. Suddenly, we realized there was a 90-degree turn ahead. Nobody wanted to go first, so my mate lit a red flare and threw it in. Together, we walked forward. There was a huge room with another doorway. We looked around and found needles and dried blood. Through the doorway, we found a grate with a ladder. Excited, we cut through the lock and started climbing down. Three of us made it, but when the biggest of us climbed, the rusted ladder broke halfway. He fell and shattered both ankles. The tunnel below was dry and pitch black, and the air smelled terrible. We couldn't go back up, and he couldn't walk. Two of us decided to keep going, leaving the others behind to try the walkie-talkies for help. As we walked, we passed rotting rat corpses, live rats, and more bloodstains. After about half an hour, nearly a mile and a half, we found a crossroads, left, right, or straight. Both side passages were dead ends. Straight ahead was another ladder. It was rusted and unstable, but I climbed it. At the top was a room, and someone was there. A body long gone, with a needle still in their arm. The face was rotting. I almost got sick. The ladder led to another identical chamber, but this grate wasn't locked. I went back down, gathered the others, and we managed to get our injured friend up and out. We got him to the hospital, but we couldn't tell anyone where we'd been or mention what we saw. It would have meant trespassing charges and too many questions about the body. Story 28. This happened about a month ago. My friends and I were exploring an abandoned World War II ammunition factory, a place that was absolutely massive and already carried an eerie atmosphere. There was graffiti everywhere, and because of the history of the site, much of it was about death and violence, which made the place feel even darker. A couple of miles deep inside the complex, we entered a room that stood out immediately. The walls were covered with graffiti, but it wasn't random. It all seemed to come from one particular person. We soon realized we had stumbled upon what looked like a shrine to a notorious.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Notoriously unhinged local graffiti artist. Hanging from the ceiling were bones, positioned at different heights. And in one section of the room, there was a disturbing pile of dead baby birds. Words scrawled on the walls told us to get out. As we turned to leave, we suddenly heard glass shatter behind us. When we looked back, we caught sight of someone, most likely the graffiti artist himself, moving erratically like he was on something. That was all it took. We bolted out of there, sprinting like our lives depended on it, not caring how exposed we were as we tore straight out of the building and onto a busy roadway. Story 29. I once explored an abandoned factory in the middle of a major city, one that was being prepared for demolition. I figured the best time to go was after dark, so I went alone with just a small flashlight. My goal was to reach the rooftop, where an old forgotten billboard overlooked the freeway and nearby skyscrapers. On the first floor, I wandered for quite a while before finally finding a staircase. The second floor was just as dark, but the century-old design of the building was fascinating. Each level seemed to have its own unique layout, and I couldn't help but keep exploring. When I reached the third floor, I turned into a large open space swallowed in darkness. As I shined my flashlight across the walls, I noticed patterns covering every surface. At first, I thought it was just random graffiti, but then I realized the markings were symbols drawn entirely in red. As I scanned the room, I saw more symbols surrounding me on all sides, written in a style that looked almost like a strange glyphic language. Some were recognizable as occult drawings, and on the pillars were murals of serpents and disturbing imagery. I froze, convinced I had walked into something I shouldn't have. My mind raced with the thought that I might be discovered by people who use this place for rituals. After what felt like forever, I forced myself to move and got out of there as quickly as possible, leaving the rooftop for another night. Story 30. Just 2 days ago, I went on a little adventure here in northern Michigan. For a while, I had noticed this old abandoned house way off the road, hidden behind trees, and I finally worked up the nerve to explore it. I parked in an overgrown field and made my way up the long driveway. Behind the house, there was another collapsing building, already leaning and half gone. The front door was unlocked. The moment I stepped inside, it felt wrong. The air was heavy, silent, and I immediately started talking loudly, just in case anyone was in there. To my left was a dining table still covered with family photos, like the owners had just vanished. The interior looked like someone had bailed decades ago, but left almost everything behind. A microwave, a fridge, dishes still in the cupboards. I flipped through some old newspapers. The most recent were from 1992. Upstairs, things got even stranger. At the top of the stairs was a bedroom with a beautiful roll-top desk. Papers were still scattered across it, like someone had been working there recently. A huge closet was stuffed with old clothing, alongside boxes of magazines dated 1989. In the second bedroom, I froze. Someone had made a bed out of old blankets and a sleeping bag on the floor. Clearly, someone had been squatting there. When I peeked into the bathroom, I found human waste smeared on the floor in front of the toilet. That was my cue to leave, but curiosity dragged me back downstairs. I found a door to the basement. I told myself there was no way I was going down there. Still, I called out, no answer. But I swear I heard something moving around below me. And here's the thing, I'm not a small guy. I'm 6'1" and 270 pounds. Not much scares me, but that basement creeped me out so bad I walked straight out of the house. I didn't even check out the back building. On my way out, though, I did stumble across a rusted 1932 Ford coupe, still barely holding together. But here's the part that makes me sound crazy. As I walked back toward my car, I looked at the house one more time, and I swear I saw a face staring at me from the basement window. I can't be sure, but it looked like eyes watching me leave. I want to go back, but definitely not alone. And next time, I won't go unarmed.